The question was asked, what does one do when asked qu personal questions or prying questions, and you try to give the hint that the person really shouldn't be going there and shouldn't be asking the questions, and the other side doesn't get the hint. So Chazal described this as mi shelo nichva b'poshrin, if a person doesn't get this heat sensation from lukewarm water, then Chazal said, then even scorching water isn't going to do what it should with him. And Chazal gave examples of rabbis who tried to teach their students the message, and the students didn't get the hint. And when it was a rabbi-student relationship, so then the rabbim gave harsh reactions. Why didn't you get the hint? You have to be more attuned to what you're being told. There are a few stories like that in the Talmud, and we find very biting reactions by the rabbi, but that's where it's a rabbi-talmud relationship. When it isn't a rabbi-talmud relationship, so then it's a question of okay, it's a question of skill, meaning it's a question of how do you get out of it. So, very often the main issue when this comes up is our own feelings. Meaning, I can describe to you a very reasonable way of getting out of it. If you could imagine now, not being on the spot, us discussing it hypothetically, and just smiling and saying, "Okay, I'd rather not discuss it. Easy going, in an easy going fashion, no problem." So where does the problem lie? The problem lies that when they don't get the hint the first two or three times you try to give it to them, you're already all nervous. You, me, all of us. Our feelings get jittery, and now we can't bring ourselves to say things calmly and nicely and sweetly. So we have to recognize where the fault lies. Meaning, on the one hand, they're wrong. They're not right. But the issue right now, if we really want to know how to deal with it, we don't want to end this relationship. We don't want to hurt them, but they're trying to hurt us. They're boors, but we want to get out of it without hurting them. So we have to realize that where does the root of our problem in dealing with the situation lie? The root of our problem is that we ourselves are we're riled up. Our emotions are taking over, right? Okay, so now that we've set it up that way, you tell me, what's the solution?
Just keep trying to stay calmly. Just smile, like you said, it's just an answer. I don't know.
Think so, but I think there are also simpler answers. I've learned in life that a more direct response sometimes works better.
So what's more direct? I don't want to talk about this.
Oh, see, you notice they said I don't, it's already like I'm upset. I think the key is not to get upset, just the opposite. It's like let's take a person that's divorced. So the guy comes and says, "Well, why didn't your marriage work?" Or so the person says, it's I one of the answers I often answer is that's a really, really good question. Another person looks at you and you don't say anything. Now what?
Keep going. I've had people keep going.
Right. So you say that's a really, really good question. Yeah.
Well,
Now, one of the advantages of that reaction is that it to an extent it's a way of not answering and answering. And it usually invokes an inner smile, which is always a better way of answering someone. An inner smile allows us to keep our cool. I had a friend that when asked, "What? Why'd you do that?" He'd always answer, "Kadesh yishalu atinokot," so that the children will ask.
My rabbi used to say that when we ask a question, he would say, "Ask it, let's say that you ask the question." So four questions, you add that question.
So
well,
I
what if it's just a question like, where are you from? You know, like, I mean, they say that's a really good question. I mean, someone's gonna say,
and you don't want to tell people where you're from?
You know, something simple like that. You know, like, where are you from?
They,
like,
but they'll say, like, I'll say, where are you from? Oh, New York. Where? I'll say, oh, you know, I'm so happy here. I don't remember. Like, they just go on. I'll say different places. Or
yeah, and you can't say New York. And they'll say where, and you'll say, you won't know the place anyway. You've done that, and they say, yeah, but where is it?
I'm just saying, you know, people get so interested.
And also, if you try to give an evasive answer, it might just trigger the person's like nudge factor, and like,
well, that's
their and
problem.
then like, just, oh well, this guy thinks he's gonna be evasive. Well, I'm gonna
yeah,
badger
him. And you can't just say near Long Island or.
I said that to go where? What street?
What street?
No, so why don't you tell them the street? Do you care?
Yeah, I do care. I do care. And I'll say, you've
been embarrassed about it. I mean, if I was
I'd say, where I made Aliyah, I'll say, I made Aliyah from this town. Would you leave before? I think it just happens sometimes.
So then I guess that is.
So I guess the best thing to say
it
is.
It works for me, I do it all the time. Just why?
Smile. I think that's a great answer, too.
Okay. I have an ushtek because one person, whenever I meet him, he asks the dumbest questions. So today I met him, I have my MP3 player in my ears. So I showed him, like, I'm going to listen to something. You know,
right, that's also sometimes.
That. You know, I'd be surprised because I used to think, oh, I'm safe because I have my headphones on. But no, not necessarily.
No, so, but you can also say, look, I really don't have time. We could, I usually say, I don't have time to schmooze now. The second you use the word schmooze, the person understands that from your perspective, this is a pointless conversation. Meaning, and to an extent, that puts them on the spot. Look, you want to waste my time talking nonsense? I don't have time for that now. And that's without saying it. You just say, look, I don't have time to schmooze now. Let's finish what we have to discuss. And that's finished. I'm not looking to offend you, but I really don't have time to schmooze. I don't know. Other than that, I can't think of a... Yeah, the disadvantage of that is A, it can sound evasive, like he said, and B, sometimes people look at you like you're retarded.
Well, if you ask a question and something else, and ask a question a second later and you smile later.
No, because you've already given like an answer, like, oh, well.
You don't remember sounds kind of like weird.
No, but don't you notice that I very often just say, it's a good question, and I keep going with the conversation? I do that all the time in class. Because people ask me a million questions that have nothing to do with the topic, and I can't address them, and I don't want to tell them, well, I can't go into that right now. That takes too much time, right? To tell each person I can't go into that right now takes a lot of time.
And I forgot to bring my little book where I had jotted all those questions.
Oh. So I just say, that's a good question. And I continue the conversation. And if someone says, yeah, but where are you from? That's a good point. We'll get to that. And we continue. We never get to it. That's it.
But also another thing that works great is you turn the table on me.
Where are you from?
Right.
What's your name? My name is Sam. What's yours? Where are you from?
That doesn't always work.
Oh, that works great. People shut up so fast. When they're in the hot seat.
Unless they were just trying, like, trying to.